from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in
Amen. Open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Thank you, Mrs. Gonzalez. That was beautiful. Amen. Exodus chapter 14. While you're finding your place, let me remind you that if your kids come home and say, we can't go tonight to church, we've got homework, they're not telling you the truth. Our teachers have been instructed, and Brother Combs has been instructed, not to give homework on Wednesday night. And if you're a homeschooler and your teacher gives you homework on Wednesday night, you need to make an appointment with that teacher and appeal to her in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and being faithful to church. All right. Let's stand if you found your place in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We shall begin to read in verse number 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? Why did we let them go? That we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains and over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel and went out with a high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped by the sea. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word of that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, and lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor on Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon the chariots and upon his horsemen. I want us to look at this story tonight and gain some special insight to it. I want to speak on this subject. What to do when you come to your wit's end. Now, much of my message tonight is going to be on things that we are not to do. Because when we come to our wit's end, we start reacting instead of acting. We start doing those things that's going to make matters worse instead of seeking help and leadership from Almighty God and doing what would honor Him. What to do when you're at your wit's end. Father in heaven, help me tonight to help our people. These are difficult times we're living in. Lord, we get frustrated at government and people and highways and taxes and things that break and the hot weather. And Lord, we come to the place where we don't know what to do next. But I'm grateful there is a God in heaven who is our God. And You know what we should do next. You know what Your will is for our life. And Lord, teach us what we ought to do and help us to be mindful of what we ought not to do. When we come to that place, we don't know what to do. Now Lord, fill me with Thy Spirit. Speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God had just delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage after hundreds of years being slaves in Egypt. They had witnessed God's mighty power in their deliverance. They saw the miracles that took place in the plagues that God sent on Egypt. They saw God's deliverance of Israel from the death angel. They saw God judge Egypt with the death angel. Pharaoh not only told Moses to take the people of God and go, but when God got through with Egypt, the people were giving them gold and silver and other treasures just to hurry up their existence from Egypt. Now it's important that you know as you read through the Bible that not everyone that went out of Egypt was God's people. The Bible tells us there was a mixed multitude that went out with them. And you can find a group of people throughout their wilderness journey that was always against Moses and always against God and always against faith and obeying God and so on. And I don't know how many of the mixed multitude was involved in what Israel was saying, but Israel sure did not have a lot of faith after seeing all that God had just done for them. Now this great host of Hebrews plus the mixed multitude are led by Moses as he's led by the presence of God, represented by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God's presence was mighty and visible to all Israel who cared to see it. The first great obstacle was the Red Sea. There they camped on the banks of the Red Sea, and in the distance they could hear the noise of the chariots and see the clouds of dust as Pharaoh pursued after them. He had changed his mind about letting them go. I'm glad God never changes His mind. I'm glad He doesn't save us today and change His mind about it tomorrow. I'm happy to tell you He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now the people were afraid. The mixed multitude began to murmur, and the people of Israel began to murmur, and it spread among God's people. They were having second thoughts about being free. They were just now realizing that responsibility goes along with freedom. One of those responsibilities is to be willing to fight and die for it if necessary. They ignored all that God had done for them. They ignored God's presence and God's power in their midst. And instead, they began to murmur and accuse Moses of leading them out in the wilderness to die. They asked the question, there's no graves in Egypt. They're lying like a dog. People were dying in Egypt. People were dying under the taskmasters. They were in terrible bondage and servitude. Like God's people today, they had the attitude after being delivered, now, Lord, what have you done for me most recently? I'm amazed at church people. Forget about God's saving grace. Forget about God's rescuing their life. They forget about God putting their marriage together or God saving their children. They forget about God's blessings and provision. The wreck that you almost had and was saved from. The job God gave you. The raise God gave you. We forget about all those things that's done in the past, and we have the attitude, it really doesn't matter what you did in the past. What are you going to do for me now? God forbid. What a terrible spirit God's people have in reference to that. I hope you don't have that kind of spirit. I hope you can look back and remember and say, as the psalmist said, I love the Lord because... And then he just started listing them. You know, the truth is, God's been so good to most of us here that we could go without the blessings of God for the next 5 years and still have reasons to praise Him every day of our life. That brings me to my message. They were at their wits' end. They didn't know what to do. Man, here's the Red Sea, too wide to swim. They couldn't take their belongings with them. Here was Pharaoh and his armies coming behind them, and they were mad. They were not warriors and soldiers. They were ex-slaves. They didn't know what to do. They were at their wits' end. So what do you do when you're at your wits' end? Well, let me say first of all, when you're at your wits' end, don't listen to those who are not of faith, who will gladly give you the advice of the mixed multitude. I promise you, when troubles come up in the average Christian's life, the first person they seek out is somebody that's in the same shape they're in with the same spirit they've got. And they begin to compare notes and complain. No, I'm worse off than you. No, God's not been as good to you, or He's not been as good to me as He's been to you. You're better off. Quit listening to the people not of faith. What do you do? Well, don't listen to those that don't live by faith in the Word of God. Well, there's always somebody out there that's already made a mess of their life and made a mess of their marriage and made a mess of their finances, ready to give you good advice so you can make a mess of yours. Don't listen to those that are not living by faith in the Word of God. Now, I can't tell you how many people every year we have to deal with in the bus ministry, in the Sunday school, in the church ministry, in the nursery, in the Christian school, that come to the place where they throw up their hands, they get to their wits' end, and they just quit. Now, there are reasons at times a person has to step back from something they're doing. But discouragement ought not be that reason. Here's a fundamental rule for God's people when that we've got to bring to mind right here. It states, don't end in doubt what you began in faith for God. You come to me and say, "Preacher, I want a Sunday school class. I feel this is God's calling and will for my life." And 6 months later, you come to me and say, "I'm going to quit." Don't end in doubt what you began in faith. You're stepping out into an area of the unknown. You're stepping out into an area where God does not bless. You're stepping out into Jonah's area. You say, "I'm not running from God." Why are you quitting? You say, "My health's not, I'm not." Well, there are reasons. Most people don't quit because they've got a reason. They're looking for an excuse that the devil has furnished to them. I can't tell you the scores and scores of people who have made this terrible mistake in the years right here at Trinity Baptist Church. They started out by faith to obey the will of God and then quit in doubt. Listen, God intended the Egypt life to be over for these Israelites. He had delivered them from it. The mixed multitude that we work with around Trinity Baptist Church are those found in our churches trying to get us to go back or at least regret that we've come out of Egypt. Well, I want you to know Egypt does not have anything for me. The only thing I want out of Egypt is some more Egyptians getting saved like the young man on Sunday. Egypt is a type of the world. It's the type of the place where God is not. The mixed multitude that we work with always, and by the way, they're in our church, mixed multitudes, murmuring, always talking about things outside of the realm of faith. Hey, without faith you can't please God. God said that. We need to learn to trust God and believe God. So when we come to our wits' end, the first thing we don't want to do is listen to those who are not of faith, not living by faith. Hey, if somebody's giving you counsel, here's what I'd ask them. Hey, are you right with God? Are you living according to the book? Are you tithing? Do you pray regularly? Do you witness? Do you read your Bible? Hey, if they don't read their Bible, they're not going to know the principles of God that He's laid down in Scripture. Well, the Bible tells us we're to walk by faith in God and His Word. And the mixed multitude know nothing about faith or God or His Word. Why should God's delivered people listen to those who know nothing about faith in God? Why? Why should you listen to a murmurer, a complainer, a fault finder to get counsel for your life? What do they have to offer but hurt and destruction? Why, if they know so much, why isn't their life right? Why are they going through their problems? Rule number one, when you're at your wits' end, don't listen or seek advice from those that are not of faith. And by the way, you say, "I don't know if they're saved or not." Well, if they're murmuring and complaining and backbiting and finding fault, if they are, they're backslidden and they're not living by faith in the will of God, or they'd be getting right. Boy, some people get upset if something good happens. They'd rather complain than rejoice. They'd rather find fault in the church than praise God for what He did in the service. Don't listen to those not of faith. You go through the story of Israel's journey all the way to the promised land, and then And you'll find the mixed multitude were always complaining and murmuring, finding fault. And like the H1N1 virus that affects people, the mixed multitude infects people also. Second thing, not only are we to not listen to those who are not of faith, we must not go back to Egypt. We must not go back to Egypt. Listen to them in verse 10, 11, and 12. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses. Now, I wonder what they were crying out to the Lord. What'd you do? Bring us out here to kill us? They're not praising Him. And I know that because their state of mind is revealed in the next verse. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness? Boy, they had a case of it, didn't they? They wanted to go back to Egypt. They were ready to leave. They were ready to give up their taskmasters. They were ready to climb out of the brick kilns. They were ready to give up the daylight to dark working with little food and little rest. They were ready to give up their servitude and slavery. Now then, because they come to their wits' end and they listen to those not of faith, they're wanting to go back to Egypt. How quickly we forget. Let me tell you, I don't recall a day in the 55 years God has saved me that I wanted to go back and get unsaved. I don't regret a day getting saved. I don't regret a day the deliverance through Jesus Christ that came to me by faith in Jesus. I'm telling you, God has given me more. Wandering in the wilderness of this old sinful world than I ever had before Christ. And let me tell you, the best is yet to come. They wanted to go back. Listen to me, folks. Here's the rule. Number one, don't listen to those that are not of faith. That means those that don't live by the Bible and believe the Bible and obey the Bible. They're not your counselors. That's not the kind of counseling you need. They've made choices that got their life in trouble and messed up as it is. Why should you take their counsel and get your life in a greater mess? Secondly, don't go back to Egypt. Well, it's just not working out in my Christian life. Okay, try again. Thank God you don't have to get born again. Get up and try again if you falter and fail. You're going to fall many times in your Christian walk. You're going to make all kinds of mistakes. And I'm amazed at good people in the church that are quick to judge and criticize people that fall. Dear God, don't you remember? Well, They ought to have done something about that kid. Well, yours get to be teenagers. See what you do. I'll tell you what, God has shown a lot more grace and mercy to you or me than we deserve. We better learn how to show grace and mercy to those around us. I mean, every one of us here are being pulled every day back to Egypt. Every day our heart hurts. Every day somebody takes a poke at us. Every day Pharaoh and his crowds coming to attack. Every day the devil's there trying to pull you back and pull you back. Don't go back to Egypt. When you come to your wits' end, don't listen to those not of faith and don't go back to Egypt. Dear God, you've started a new journey in Christ. Stay on the course. Stay on that path. Don't go back to Egypt. There's a lot of joys and blessings in the pastorate. But I cannot tell you the hurt. Hurt all night and all day for days and weeks. It's in your mind. It's on your heart. You grieve over it when people that have gotten their life right with God, they've gotten saved. And the first little problem or two comes up, they throw up their hands and go back to the old life in the world like a dog to its vomit. It grieves my heart. You say, it doesn't bother me. I just write them off. It bothers me. I don't write them off. If I see them come back in, I'm going to try to love them again. I'm going to try to encourage them again. I'm going to try to get them back in regularly. I want to see them take another step. You know, I didn't learn to walk the first time I got up and tried it. But thank God, Mom and Daddy kept encouraging me to get up and try it again. I didn't ride a bicycle the first time I tried it. The last time I fell on a bicycle was about 15 years ago. That's when I gave my bicycle up and got me a stationary one. But hey, we're going to have falters. We're going to stumble. When you learned how to skate, did you just get out there and start skating? No, I didn't. Man, that place had the cleanest floor of any skating rink you've ever seen, and all the dirt and dust was right here. Because I'd wiped it up. I wanted to learn how to skate because there's a cute little girl out there just skating around, and here I am stumbling and falling. I wanted to get out there. You say, preacher, hey, there wasn't a Trinity Baptist Bible College then. There wasn't a Trinity Baptist Church then. What I did ignorantly. God showed mercy. Don't listen to those not of faith. And don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. The armies of Egypt and Pharaoh were on their way not to take them back to Egypt. They were on their way to kill them right there by the Red Sea. And you better understand that the devil does not just want to take you back to Egypt so you can enjoy the old life. You're not his anymore. You belong to God. And the devil's intent is to slaughter you. He wants to see blood and guts spread out across the countryside. He wants to see your life no more. You think Pharaoh brought all those chariots and that army so he could put everybody in a chariot and take them back? Say, here, we're going to promote you and give you a new house. No, sir, he's going to kill them right there. Don't go back to Egypt. The devil has nothing for you out there in the world except hurt and heartache and sorrow. Why? If you go back after trusting Christ, the world's not going to trust you. They'll mock you for your lack of faith and disobedience to God. I was listening to the outfielder for the Texas Rangers that's a recovering alcoholic and drug addict. And he fell and went back, took a drink, and went nuts and did some things no human being ought to do. And then began to deal with it and got counsel and went to his pastor and was trying to get right about it and go on beyond it. I'm listening to these guys mocking, calling him a hypocrite. Hey, he's not a hypocrite. First of all, he don't know how to express himself. He's not a Bible scholar or a student of the Scripture, although he knows God's grace and God's thorn in the flesh. And that God said, I won't remove it, but I'll give you grace that you might be able to bear it. And he knows what his thorn in the flesh is. But because he trusted Christ and gave testimony of faith in Christ and faltered, man, some of these broadcasters are crucifying him. They're calling him hypocrites. He's no more of a hypocrite than you or me. Have you ever messed up after you got saved? Well, I've never done anything like that. Oh, lying's not bad. Hating's not bad. Stealing your tithe isn't bad. Unfaithfulness is not bad. I'm simply saying they're not going to trust you and they don't want you back. They're not going to have sweet fellowship. They want to kill you. They want to see your life wrecked and destroyed. There's people out there that would be greatly pleased if there was never another Christian on this earth. And I want to go back to Egypt? No, no. You see, even the world knows God's people is out of place living back in the world. When we come to our wits' end, the devil and the world will try to get us to go back. You better learn that our problem is not with God. It has always been with the world and the devil. Therefore, don't go back to Egypt. Well, I've got to stop. But we'll take up next Wednesday night on this. Or I may just get lazy and backslide and not get a sermon for Sunday night. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Have you ever come to your wits' end? 9 out of 10 people, when they come to their wits' end, go to the wrong person for advice and counsel. Don't listen to those not of faith. Secondly, don't go back to Egypt. Your problem is not God. Your problem is not the man of God or the church of God. Your problem has always been the world and the devil that's trying to destroy you. Don't go back to Egypt. Father, thank you for this time tonight with our people. Thank you for the Word of God and the power of it. And how many times have I found myself at my wits' end? There is a tendency in our flesh to find somebody to sympathize with us instead of somebody that can give us God's direction for our life. And how many times when we've come to our wits' end have we felt the pull of the world and we thought about quitting and giving up and throwing up our hands and just going back to the world? Don't go back. Help us to get over that and that out of our mind. Lord, if we listen to the people of faith who know the Bible and love the Bible, they're not going to give us that counsel. They're going to give us counsel to stay true to God, stay faithful to God, keep on serving God, get up and try again. Problems are going to come in our Christian life. We've got to learn to deal with them and faithfulness is dealing with our problems and staying true to the Savior. The Lord bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Let's stand to our feet as the instruments begin to play.